So, this is an amazing day to be alive in Christ. Amen. And it's so exciting when the Holy Spirit does things that we aren't in charge of. Amen? And the things that we try to take charge of usually ends up needing the Holy Spirit to come and take charge of it and get it corrected and mended and healed up. Well, I want to talk about following the leader, and I want to look at a scripture that we actually looked at last Sabbath. In the life of Jesus, this scripture became reality. That night in Gethsemane, they came and they bound him, and at least temporarily for the next 3 days, he would not be free to come and go and minister and help people the way he had been so used to being able to do. And his night came when he was no longer able to work the works that God had sent him to do here in this world. Now, he was working even on the cross. He was still ministering and saving souls, but not as freely and not as easily as he had been doing. His time on earth was rapidly coming to a close, and he knew it. And that's why he declared this about himself. But it also applies to you and me. The night is coming when no one will be able to work. Now, in our own personal lives, that comes if we pass away, then we no longer can work for the Lord on this earth. Our night comes, and we fall asleep in Christ, and we wait for him to wake us up. Amen? Amen. However, there is a night coming on this world where no one will be able to work. Probation will close near the end of a great time of trouble, and that night will come. Now, hopefully, some of us will be alive during that time, and we'll be able to represent the Lord in that incredible, challenging time that will come upon the whole world. Well, I hope to live to see Jesus comes. Amen? Anybody else have that hope, that blessed hope? And it's the only reason I want to live to see Jesus come is I want him to use me. That's it. And basically, the deal I have with God is as long as you need me, as long as you can use me, then that's it. When you're done with that, that's fine. It's your call. And it's wonderful. Well, yeah, that's it. But it's wonderful to actually say that to him. It's actually a real privilege to even be able to say that to him and to have the ability to say it. I mean, it's obvious. It's true. God's in charge. He holds the keys of life and death and hell. He holds the keys of the universe. But it's nice that God likes to hear us express our thoughts and our beliefs. God likes us to take time to have conversation with him, and about more than just the things we need, about just things, you know, about life. Talk to him about life. Talk to him about the universe. Talk to him about, who knows, he may show you something that'll make you more incredible than Einstein. I don't know. If you take time to hang out with God, who knows what he'll do for you and with you. It's just really an amazing possibility. But mark it down. The night is coming. Now, Jesus wasn't just talking about himself when he said, when no one can work. He's talking about the whole human race. The night has come when no one's going to be able to work. His night came. Many Christians have fallen asleep, the sleep of death, and they can no longer work. Their works do follow them like his works followed him, but they no longer can walk around and do things. I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know if I'll get to live to that day, but I guarantee you this much, if I do get to live to that day, and I'm living in Christ, and Christ is living in me, I will not be rejoicing over what is happening to the unbelievers in this world. And I need to be weeping. I need to have a heart experience. I need to have a heart transplant every day now so that I can actually weep for them instead of instead of smirk at them or say, I told you so, or yeah, you deserve it. You know, all those crazy things that Satan wants to poison us with. We need to have mercy and tender care for people. And I know I need a new heart every day, every morning. I need to be born again every morning. I need to die daily. And then I need to take up the cross and follow Jesus. And I need to let Christ work in me through his grace and work for him until that night comes. Jesus said about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, except by me, except with me, except in me. You can't get there unless you do it with Jesus. You got to follow Jesus. We're following the leader here. But let's take it back another step about Jesus and himself. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus was playing follow the leader. His Father is the leader. Anybody ever played follow the leader? Anybody ever never get to be the leader? Is there anybody here that you waited for years and years and nobody ever let you be the leader? I hope not. Because you should take turns, you know, follow the leader. Well, Jesus knew how to play this in real life. He wouldn't do anything unless he saw his Father doing it or heard his Father saying it, telling it, and commanding it, or ordering it, commissioning it. He lived, that's how he lived. He didn't do anything unless it came from his Father, unless he knew his Father wanted him to do it. Now, that's an interesting concept of existence, because Jesus speaks to us, anybody who will hear, and he says, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. So Jesus is our leader. He's the one we can connect with, we can relate to. He's not only God, he's human. And we can see him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We can see him in Isaiah. We can see him in Hosea. We can see him in all the prophets. We can see him in the book of Revelation. We can see him in Genesis. We can follow Jesus. He's left us everything we need to succeed in doing this. Because Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice. They know me, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, this is yours. But you must cash it. You must take this check to the bank of heaven and cash it. This is a written promise, a written benefit, a privilege, a gift that is written to anyone who will believe. And the promise is, you can hear his voice. Many people say, I don't know how I can't hear God's voice. Well, you need to cash this check. You need to take this check to the bank of heaven every morning if you want to hear God's voice, because his mercies are new every morning. And this is a daily covenant. This is not a monthly rental check. This is not an annual lease check. This is a daily covenant. You must come and cash these checks every day. If you really want to get there, the way Peter, James, and John, and Aquila and Priscilla got there, and Esther got there, and Elijah, you got to check these in. You got to cash these checks every morning. These are precious promises that the kingdom of God overflows through these promises. The whole bank of heaven opens up when you hold up these checks and say, hey, I'm here for a withdrawal here. I'm cashing this in this morning. Now, if you think it's not worth it, then you will not do it every morning. And you will regret it sincerely, deeply, greatly. Because this is a daily covenant. And if you don't have time to go to the God of heaven in the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about here. You can't get there with human faith. You can only get there with his faith. And the Bible says, here are they that keep the commandments of God and have their own faith. Is that what it says? It says they have the faith of Jesus, which includes the ability of Jesus, which includes the consistency of Jesus, which includes the faithfulness of Jesus. It's all there. And if you don't have time to do that, then you need to go spend some time at the cross. Because he took time for you. And we just need to really key in on this. And I cash this every day. I used to cash it once a month or once every 2 months or maybe once a year if I remembered it to pray about it. But the Holy Spirit convicted me and showed me, you know what? You're in the middle of a bunch of wolves in this world, and they are going to devour you if you don't have my protection. And the Lord showed me this daily covenant. Take up your cross daily and come after me. Give us this day our daily bread. It's all through the Bible, this daily covenant. And so God says, if you can't take time to pray this way, then you really can't walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And it got so big in Jesus' life, he had to get up at 2 or 3 in the morning, maybe all night sometimes, and he had to bring these. And you know why Jesus prayed so much? Because he wasn't just cashing them in for himself. And mark it well, he needed it himself as a human being. He had to get the same power that you and I have to get because he didn't use any of his own power. He could have, but he didn't. But the reason it took him so long to pray is he was cashing these checks in for people who hated him. He was cashing these checks for people who neglected him. He was cashing these checks for people who didn't even believe he was worth a penny. That's what he was doing. He loved people so much that he not only took time to pray for whatever the Father wanted him to do, because he said, I don't do anything unless I hear the Father say it. Well, you got to get into some serious prayer to hear God's voice. And Jesus had to do that. That's why he had to pray all night. But he also prayed for his enemies. He prayed for his brothers and his sisters who made fun of him and thought he was crazy. He prayed for his mama, Mary. He was a faithful prayer warrior, the most faithful prayer warrior in the history of the universe, Jesus Christ. And in John 14, 12, he says, if you believe in me, the very works I have done, you will do also. That's not only a promise, that's a covenant. That's a, if you believe in me, then you need to be doing the things that I'm doing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Don't just go tell people you believe in me and then neglect doing what I did. You know what Jesus calls that? A hypocrite. He calls them snakes. He calls them graves full of dead men's bones. And that's not very cool. I don't want that tag. Well, you're sure into works, aren't you, Pastor Paul? I'm into his works. Because he said, if you believe in me, you'll do the works that I have done. You know what that means? If you have genuine, true faith, these works will come forth miraculously. And it'll be so incredible, you know you can't take the credit for it, because you know when you were trying, it was just failure after failure. And then when the miracles started happening, you, wow, God's real. Look what he just did. He actually did this for me. Like this morning, Larry had no idea what my sermon is about. And he still doesn't. Because we haven't even got to the part where I was sitting there going, did I tell Larry what I'm preaching about today? I can't believe the Lord gave you that story. And they follow me. Follow the leader. Walk in his footsteps. I remember when I played follow the leader, wherever that foot went, you got to step where that foot went down. Right? Especially in the snow. And if you didn't get there, everybody knew you didn't get there. Follow the leader. Here we are. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Who? Who are we talking about here? Elijah. Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. God came and told him that. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the warden's cat to feed you. Can you believe he came up with that children's story? I'm sitting there going, did I tell Larry what I was preaching? That's a mind blower to me. And then Gigi gets up and sings, consider the lilies. The Lord provides. He'll give you everything. She actually said that in her introduction. He supplies your needs. I love it when the Holy Spirit's in charge, don't you? Wow. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. You see those crazy crows? And mark it well, crows are crazy. They will steal your watch and your jewelry and your everything. And they found it in hollow trees. They find little stashes of the crows. People find them once in a while, and they cash in, wedding rings, all kinds of stuff. But here they are, they're feeding Elijah. Look at that guy. He must have been having a time. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Why? Because he followed the leader. He followed the word of God. The word of the Lord came to him. Now, I believe the word of the Lord is Jesus Christ. Amen? In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen? So Jesus came to Elijah in the Spirit. The voice of God flooded his soul, go and live by the river, the brook, and the ravens are going to feed you there. That's awesome. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to the Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. He's following the leader. The voice of the Lord told him to go there. Now, he said he had commanded this widow to take care of him. Did she know anything about that? No. Because when he gets there, she's going to fix her own food, the last of it, and then die. She says, I'm going to fix what I got left. My son and I are going to eat it, and we're going to die. So I don't know what you're talking about, buddy. There's not enough for all of us. My boy and I are going to eat it and die. God had already commanded her to do it, and she didn't even know it. And she just needed a little bit of encouragement. And Elijah gave it to her. And she had just enough mustard seed faith to walk into one of the biggest miracles in the Bible. And it even got bigger. Her son died. Right? And then Elijah raises him from the dead. Man, don't you want to meet her in heaven? Don't you want to talk to this lady? I mean, are you kidding me? Wow, we're going to get there. We're going to be on the sea of glass. Who knows how long we're going to be singing to the Lord, to Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. We're going to be singing, and he's going to sing over us. That's going to be awesome. And then I'm going to look around. You know what? I don't know where she's going to be, but I guarantee you, after she gets her opportunity to enjoy Jesus for who knows how long, she's going to be looking for Elijah. And her son's going to be looking for Elijah. And I hope I'm nearby when they find each other. I want to see that. How about you? That's going to be so incredible. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. The word of the Lord keeps coming to Elijah. And now it's 3 years later. He went to the brook, hung out there with the crows, had a good time, comes back. miraculously living in Zarephath. And now it comes again after many days in the third year. The word of the Lord. Now, they didn't have Bibles like you and I have. They couldn't carry them. They were too huge, these big giant things, and they couldn't carry them around. But you know where they had it? Right here. Right here. That's where they had the word of the Lord. Anytime they heard anything from God, they opened their heart and let it burn deep down inside. I'm talking about they, his servants, the prophets. The first requirement to live for Jesus in the last days is surrender. That you gotta force that sinful nature to surrender. You gotta say, hey, I'm taking charge here with my willpower. I force you. You must obey Jesus. And you know what that means? You must die every day. Every day. When you pray, if you pray the Lord's Prayer, I don't know if you do, but Jesus said this is how you should pray. There are seven steps in the Lord's Prayer. I think it's a good idea to follow what Jesus said you should do. And when you get to that section where it's talking about lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil, it's not just talking about the devil you need delivered from. It's talking about you and me getting delivered from our sinful nature too. Amen. Don't just think, oh, God, deliver me from the devil and his demons. No, that's part of it. But maybe even a bigger part of it is, Lord, deliver me from me. Let my sinful nature die today, Father. Let Jesus come in with a two-edged living word sword of the Spirit and crucify me. And Lord, when the time comes, excise it and remove it from me so that your seal can rest mightily upon me and in me, the mystery of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So now the word of the Lord Jesus comes and he says, go. Now it's time to do battle. You've been hiding long enough. Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. We know the story, right? They went up on top of Mount Carmel. Jezebel brought all of her hundreds of priests and false prophets. Here's the word of the Lord that comes to you and me every day now. Every human being on earth gets this visit from the Lord. People, only the prophets get this kind of treatment. No. Every human being on the planet gets this message right here every day. Most of us don't hear it because we're too busy enjoying the flesh and sin and the lust of the flesh. We're too busy enjoying all the things of the flesh. We can't hear God's voice. Do you really think that God doesn't love you as much as he loved Elijah? You really think that he doesn't come after you the way he went after Elijah? If you do, you don't understand who this is in here. He's the one who laid down on an ugly cross because he wants you so bad that he couldn't go back to heaven without finishing the job. The Holy Spirit is the same. Every day, he's pleading with every sinner on the planet except for those who have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And once that happens, he will no longer plead with him. But that's not a whole lot of people, maybe more than I think, maybe fewer than I think. It really doesn't matter what I think. I don't know anyway. But I know this. He's talking to all of us. Amen. And this is what he's saying every day. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me. Come to me so I can save you. Come to me so I can help you. That's what Jesus and the Holy Spirit are saying every day. This is the word of God for you in the day we live. What else is he saying? If you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. The only reason you shouldn't get baptized is if you're nailed on a cross and you can't come down and get baptized. Or if you're laying in a hospital bed dying and you can't get up and go get baptized. Or you're in prison in the Sahara Desert and you can't get baptized because they won't let you out of prison. The only reason you shouldn't get baptized is because it's physically impossible to do it. Any other reason is rebellion and disobedience. And the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And you don't want to know what God thinks about that. He who believes and is baptized will be made whole. You'll be restored. You'll be cleansed. You'll be renewed. Now that has to happen every day too. It's not just a one-time event. It's an everyday event, continuous action, ongoing, with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Jesus, I choose you every morning. Here's what the voice of God is saying. The word of God is speaking this to every human on the earth, yet most humans are not hearing this. They're so busy partying or worrying. Worrying can keep you from hearing this. Worrying about how they're going to pay for the new car that they shouldn't have bought, or for the whatever that they shouldn't have done, and the credit cards they shouldn't have maxed out, or whatever. That's usually the big thing is the money thing. People worry. They're worried about so much they can't hear him saying, prepare to meet your God. Amen. Amen. The Lord's coming. And before he comes, it's going to be hardcore, rough road. Hardcore. You see all the destruction around in this artist's rendition? See all the smoke, the burning buildings, and you can't see it too well here, it's a little dark. But there's going to be a lot of devastation. Whole cities destroyed, demolished. Half of the world's population will perish during the time of trouble, according to the Bible, according to God's word. Prepare to meet your God. The Bible says that the day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. Now, that's not talking about the day Jesus shows up in the clouds. That's not talking about that day. It's talking about the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord covers many, many, many days. You study the day of the Lord, you go look up the day of the Lord in the Bible. The day of the Lord is a time of judgment. A time of great devastation, and it covers many, many, many days. The second coming of Jesus covers one day, one event. And I propose that nobody alive on earth when Jesus shows up in the clouds is going to be surprised. Nobody. The Christians won't be surprised because the Christians will have just watched the seven last plagues fall, and they will know, wow, that was the seven last plagues we just saw over the past few weeks. Jesus is about to come. They're not going to be surprised. The unbelievers are not going to be surprised because they will have just received the seven last plagues, which they heard about from the 144,000. And they will believe it so much that they will unite with all the forces of Satan and all the apostate governments of the earth. They will unite, as in Revelation 16, they will unite thinking they can destroy the one who is coming in the clouds. They will prepare to do battle with him. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. They're not going to be surprised. But most of the world will be totally taken by surprise when the judgments of God begin falling on the human race. There'll be so much panic, hysteria, fearful fretting. People will be psyching out all over the place. And guess who's going to stand up with smooth answers? The false Messiah. And guess who's going to stand up with true answers? Everybody who's been playing follow the leader. It's going to be a day like nothing the universe has ever seen. Mount Carmel, Elijah, and the hundreds of prophets was just a little mini cosm of what's getting ready to happen worldwide. And I want in on it. If all I'm doing is sitting in the corner holding a door open for one of the 144,000, I want to be there. I'll hold a door for them. I'll carry their luggage. I'll clean their toilets. I'll do whatever I need to do to serve the living God. And if that's what he assigns me to, man, I'm going to be the best janitor that the 144,000 ever saw. Because Jesus is worthy. And all the people who right now do not know him deserve to know him just like you and I know him. And that's what I believe. That's how I believe we ought to be playing follow the leader. There's a lady, well, she had a son. He was in the Pacific Theater. I don't know why they call it a theater. It wasn't like going to a theater, that's for sure. It was the World War II. They call it the theater, Pacific Theater. 1942, getting ready for the terrible invasion of Guadalcanal, the battle for Guadalcanal, a major shipping lane, a major position for the nations of the earth, that whoever controlled it would win the war, would control the war. And this young man, what was his name? Can't remember his name. I wrote it down. Elgin Staple. Elgin Staple was on this destroyer, the Astoria, USS Astoria. Big bomb went off and blew him overboard, shrapnel in his shoulder, bleeding. Just before it happened, though, he had grabbed his life belt, safety belt. In the water for 4 hours, full of sharks. They were brushing up against his feet and his legs, and he knew, he thought about his mom. He knew his mom back home was praying for him. Another destroyer came along, I think the USS Jackson, picked him up, put him back on the Astoria. A few hours later, the Astoria took a torpedo, and it sunk, and he's in the water again with the sharks. Who knows how many hours? Bleeding. Sharks everywhere. And then another battleship came by and got him. Took him to a medical ship. He took the safety belt, the belt, the life belt off. He looked at it and he saw the address on it was from a factory, I think it's Ohio, and it was a factory where his mother worked. And it had a number on it. And it was her number. She had inspected the belt. And she was praying. Well, Jesus came here to give you and me and everybody on this planet a life-saving safety belt. And this is what that belt is. The belt is Jesus. He says to each one of us, I am your safety belt. Put me on now before it's too late. Find the belt now before the bomb goes off. If this guy, something told him, I need to find my safety belt. If he hadn't gone looking for it and found it before the bomb went off, he'd have been in the water without that safety belt that his mama inspected. Well, God the Father inspected this safety belt with a fine-tooth comb. And he found that Jesus Christ had completed his mission in perfection, holiness, purity. And he raised him from the dead. And now Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And he prays for you and he prays for me every day. And he's got 24 elders helping him. If you don't believe it, read Revelation 5. They're all holding little golden bowls full of, guess what? The prayers of the saints. And they're all with Jesus, helping him. And guess where they're from? They're from this sin-sick world. Elijah might be one of them. He got to go without dying. Moses, the Lord raised him from the dead and took him. Enoch, he got to go without dying. That made at least three. Now, I'm not sure, but they could be three of the 24. And there's a whole bunch of people who were raised from the grave when Jesus came out of the grave. And a bunch of those guys may be part of the 24. I don't know, but I'll be checking with them when I get there. Tell me your story is what I want to hear your story. They're going to say, well, I want to hear your story. No, 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 no. Yours is a lot bigger than mine. I want to hear yours first. But the only way we're getting there is if we put on Jesus. Every day, all day, 24/7. And he says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I know them, and they follow me. Come to me, he says. Come to me and live. And then he says, as the Father sent me, I sent you. He says, go and tell everybody everything you know about me. That's what Jesus says. All you have to do is tell them about me. The Holy Spirit will back it up. The Holy Spirit, if you just say little things about me, he'll make it so big, you won't believe that they heard all that from you. But that's how God, he magnifies everything. Amen. So what do you say? How many of you want to follow the leader, Jesus? Raise your hand. You say, hey, I'm ready, man. I've been looking for the right guy for a long time to follow. Wow. He's going to lead you and he's going to lead me every morning to the throne of grace. Every morning. Hebrews 4. Boldly come to the throne of grace through the blood of Christ. Boldly come. Learn how to be a royal priest in the priesthood of Messiah after the order of Melchizedek. Most Christians don't even know what I just said. And if you don't know what I just said, you need to be digging into Hebrews. That's part of putting on the belt, the lifesaver belt. Let's sing that chorus again. How about it, world praise? Why don't you come back up here and we'll sing that chorus, Grace, Grace, Marvelous Grace. Come on up. This is one of our new groups, and I praise God for them. Somebody say amen. Amen. World of praise. Here's a microphone that belongs up there. So we're going to sing that Grace, Grace, God's Grace. What, it's in the hymnal. What number is it in the hymnal? Marvelous Grace. Maybe we can get it up here if you guys are geniuses up there usually. I bet I don't, maybe I can back it up and find it. There it is. In fact, we'll just sing the last verse, Marvelous, Infinite, Matchless Grace, and then we'll sing that chorus. What do you say? You want to stand up for Jesus? Is he worthy? Amen.
Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all. Longing to see
How many of you believe that is true today? Amen. How many of you want to put on Jesus as your safety belt from sin and all the sharks of this world? Now, if you came in here today and you did not belong to Jesus Christ 100%, and you just became His 100%, I'd like to know about it, so I'd like for you to come up afterwards and tell me so I can jump up and down and maybe dance a little bit and then pray with you. Because that's what the angels are doing. They're rejoicing. And then we can schedule your baptism. And if you came in here today and you've been kind of lazily hanging out with religion, then you're getting ready to die is what you're getting ready to do. You need to come and embrace Jesus, and He is not religion. Well, praise God for the one amen. Jesus is a living Savior. It has nothing to do with religion. I want to pray with you after we're dismissed. If you need prayer for any reason, there's people up here. We'll pray with you. Maybe the Lord's put it on your heart to come pray for me. That's fine with me. I need all the prayers I can get. And as we close, man, I want to meet that guy that got bread from the warden's cat. I want to meet him. But better yet, I want to learn to pray like he prayed. How many of you want to pray like that? I want to meet that mother who inspected that safety belt that prayed for her little boy while the sharks were trying to eat him alive. That's how real this thing is. We have a God who's more real than all the garbage sin can produce. Amen. Grace is greater, amen? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the risen Savior of the world, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, lift up His countenance upon you and grant you the Holy Spirit blessing that He promised we could all have. And may He be your peace, your joy, your wisdom, your strength. May Jesus be your all in all, because that's who He can be if you let Him be. May we all have this for Jesus and for each other. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. Amen, Pat.